Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan. San Diego's own, Gwynn and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
He was irritated about the helmet. He was looking through. He was coming up with all kinds of, wow, did you see that lightning go off right there? That was a little scary.
And Chris Ello.
But when there's a pop-up that goes into short right center field, and all four people watch it fall in, and then they give the batter a triple, that annoys me.
I feel you on that.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
.405, hour number one in the book. Remember, a quick two-hour show today, ladies and gentlemen. We've pretty much extinguished everything Dodgers at this point.
Oh, but we can kick a little more dirt on them if we have to.
We certainly can. We're going to put baseball on pause just for a second, and we're going to dive into the NFL.
Because this is the most important thing in the world anyway.
Well, listen, I mean, now with the two if the Astros lose tonight with all the favorites out of it, with the exception of the Yankees, it would be not fun to watch, and you could completely turn your attention to the NFL.
Let me tell you something. More people will watch this NFL game tonight than will watch this playoff baseball game.
No doubt. No doubt.
For sure.
And no better person to have on the show than our fantasy guru expert, Matt Camp, joins us. Bleacher Report. Matt, how you doing today?
Good afternoon, guys. Good to be with you again.
Always great having you on, Matt.
Well,
thanks,
Matt, I want to ask you because I've been getting a couple questions about this, and I think it's still lingering on a lot of folks' minds. If you have Antonio Brown on your roster, is it time to let go?
You're wasting a roster spot, and you have been for about 3 weeks to pop back up again this week for some reason. I don't know why. It's not going to happen. Nobody's going to take that on their team at this point, nor should they. So, yeah, you're wasting a roster spot. Don't bother with the guy.
Matt, what's been the biggest surprise so far this year in fantasy? To me, one of the surprises is that we all thought there were like two or three elite tight ends, so we drafted them way up there trying to get an edge on the competition. But it kind of turns out there's a lot of tight ends having good years this year. I don't know that that's the number one storyline, but give me a couple that have kind of jumped up in your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly part of it. It's a position that we're begging for help with all the time, and you've seen even a guy like Austin Hooper step up after a couple of years at the Falcons, and he's playing well. Mark Andrews with Baltimore, Darren Waller with the Raiders, just to name a few guys there, and it's been good to see. I'll tell you, I have Gerald Everett on my Sleepers article that'll be out tomorrow, so there's another one there for the Rams. That's been good for fantasy. We've been begging for that. I think Baltimore's offense as a whole, Lamar Jackson was drafted by a lot of people maybe in the 10th or 11th or 12th rounds as, you know, maybe a high-end backup, and he's been very good. Once again, I say it all the time. I'll say it again this week. You can go find your quarterbacks. You can go pick up Gardner Minshew and play him in your lineup against the Saints because the matchup is good. You can, you know, go get Kyle Allen and play him against the Buccaneers because the matchup is good. I get deep all the time. I said it to somebody this morning. You just do not have to be trading, you know, useful parts of your receiving core, your running back group, your, you know, one of the great tight ends to go get a quarterback. It's just not necessary. I had Teddy Bridgewater as a sleeper last week. The guy's not been playing good football in fantasy world, but he had the Buccaneers last week. You picked him up, you played him, he got four touchdowns. Now, you can do that. There's obviously varying levels of that, but it's the position, but I think wide receivers are letting us down. I think that's a big story to me.
Yeah.
Guys like DeAndre Hopkins, what's going on in Minnesota with Diggs and Thielen, you know, are they going to be consistent? You put that on the quarterback and the coach, for that matter. You see a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, you know, everybody's writing him off, and you don't have to bother him with it for fantasy. And believe me, I was in that camp too. Guess what? He's getting a ton of opportunities. He's in an offense where they're throwing a bunch. That goes a long way. We don't have A.J. Green out there. Tyler Boyd stepping up. You know, opportunity really does go a long way. I'm all for talent, and you get excited about it, but Ask anybody who's dealing with Odell Beckham or Juju Smith-Schuster how things are going right now with those guys, because they're tearing their hair out going, I got to keep playing these guys, right? Yeah, you do. But you're dealing with quarterback situations that are not ideal. You know, in Cleveland, the O-line is a problem. That trickles down to Baker Mayfield having issues, which then hurts Odell Beckham's number. So, I mean, if you got a guy like Cooper Kupp right now, you're probably winning your fantasy league because that guy is about as consistent as it gets.
Matt Camp, Bleacher Report, fantasy football guru. Matt, I have Todd Gurley, and I know I'm not the only one in this boat. What do we make of the production he's been able to give or not been able to give in fantasy? Is it time to sell high on him?
You know, he's banged up this week. He's got the thigh contusion. I think I talked to you guys in the preseason as I talked to all people, and I said, you know, there's probably going to be that level of, you know, the Kawhi Leonard to go to the Raptors last year, that load management. I think that's what we've kind of seen. I think we've seen a fine player, but I definitely think he's not the same guy he was last year. And that, I mean, that's okay. I'm not going to knock him for that. Guy's clearly playing through, you know, not at the same level because of that knee issue. And they tried to cover it up or whatever they said, but they've been careful about it. Now, luckily, he's in a pretty good offense, so they score touchdowns. So you can make up for maybe some weeks where he's averaging 3.4 yards per carry and he's not getting the catches because he finds the end zone twice, there's 12 points right there. So, you know, that's the one good thing about him. If he was on a bad team, if he was on the Dolphins, if he was on, you know, the Jets, you'd be worried because he's not going to get those scoring chances. You can make up for a lot, 6 points. Just because he runs it in from 1 yard out, it still counts for six, and he gets those chances. So, to me, I don't think he's a bad guy to think about, Tony, in terms of shopping him. Banged up this week. Malcolm Brown, another guy. I'll give you a sleeper for this week. Malcolm Brown, I think, should be on a lot of people's radars with or without Gurley in the lineup this week because they have clearly had no problem going with him in the past this season. I think they would do it again. And once again, it's a good offense. So if Malcolm Brown's the starting running back for the Rams this week, he certainly has some value. I don't think it's a bad idea to think about selling Todd Gurley if you're worried about his long-term health in the 2019 season.
Matt Camp from Bleacher Report. You can catch him on Twitter at Matt Camp, at the Matt Camp, and he'll get back to you with great insight and information. And he's always been great to us. Matt, you cannot save my team, and I'm only bringing this up honestly because nobody wants to hear about a person's team, but I think this is historic what's happening with my team so far this year. I'm looking at the stats right now. I am number two in a 12-team league overall in total points scored. I'm only six behind the guy who has the most. But not only am I not in first place, not only am I not in the middle of the pack, I'm winless. I haven't won a single game, despite the fact that I'm the number two overall scorer. Now, I'm only telling this story just so maybe you can share with your friends that, hey, no matter how bad you think your fantasy season's going, it's not as bad as this guy's. There's nothing I can do, right?
No, there isn't. You got bad luck. I would love to say, hey, here's the solution. The solution is to change the scoring, how you score your thing, your league.
Yeah, because Tony, it's your scoring was the problem.
You want to play here. You want to play something that's fair. You play an all-play format where everybody plays everybody every week. So the top score of the week goes 11-0 in a 12-teamer, and the worst score goes 0-11.
Here.
The fairest way to do that, and by week eight, you're bored out of your mind because you don't know how many games. Oh, I'm 14 games back. Oh, okay, whatever. Oh, it's Monday Night Football. Well, I got this guy. This team has this guy.
I see what you mean. That's no good.
Boring as hell. I don't tell people to do it. I have a very customizable league I do where we do this in five-week segments, all play. So if you crap the bed, you get a bad injury in the first 5 weeks, don't worry because we're playing 6 through 10, and then we're playing 11 through 15, and then we're playing a championship game. So I kind of like that idea.
Interesting.
It's a little bit more involved.
I like that idea personally at this moment.
You wouldn't be in last place. You wouldn't be in last place if you played that. But you know what? That's where you maybe check out daily, Chris.
Amazing what I told you. I mean, the deaths happened, right?
I've been there. I've been there. I promise you. I have been in the
exact same spot before.
You just kind of got to stay the course.
We're going to do a segment on the show tomorrow where I'm going to give out a list of the people I'm playing against just so all the listeners can have an advantage and know who to start.
That sounds like what I do. I don't hit my waiver wires quick enough. I don't set my lineups quick enough. But as long as my advice to the people and listeners is correct, that's all I care about. So that's the service I feel like you're giving out to everyone listening to the show tomorrow.
Absolutely.
There you have it. Matt Cabb, Bleacher Report. Matt, thank you for coming on, man. We'll catch up with you sometime down
the
line.
Always a pleasure, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Best of luck to you, because you clearly need it, Chris.
Clearly. Clearly.
Oh, that's awesome. Matt Cabb, as I said, Bleacher Report, our fantasy expert. Chris,
there is no expert that can save me.
No, there's not. No. We're going to step away. Before we do that, coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called and call back at 833-288-0973 to win a pair of Weekend Fest passes to San Diego International Film Festival. You'll also be entered into our grand prize drawing, a Las Vegas getaway that includes show tickets to Absinthe at Caesar Palace and Opium at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas and the brand new Atomic Saloon Show. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter the winner. All right, here we go. Next up, a possible candidate for the managerial job here in San Diego.
If he's not, he should be.
He sure should. We got Ozzie Guillen, former White Sox manager, former Marlin manager. He'll join us next, and we're going to talk a little bit about the job here in San Diego, what he's seen in the playoffs, and maybe what he's been up to. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3.
I have more Gwynn and Chris for you right up until kickoff tonight. 4:19 is the time. Back to a little baseball right now. Very excited to have on the program our next guest, former great Major League shortstop and World Series winning manager with the Chicago White Sox. Joining us here on 97.3 The Fan is Ozzie Guillen. Ozzie, how are you doing, sir? Very nice to talk with you today.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited. Very excited because I know you guys give me the opportunity to talk to people, and very excited, too. I know. Don't talk to people for a little while around baseball. Even I'm in baseball with doing a TV and doing a lot of radio thing for White Sox and nationally with ESPN. But I'm out of uniform, but I'm still in the game.
Yeah, well, let me ask you. I mean, would you love to get back into managing? Would you like to get back into managing, or is it something that you haven't even thought about?
Well, I will love. I love it. I love it. You know, I mean, science. You know, 2003, I never had interview. And then when I got the job with the White Sox, it was the only interview I have. Because when I went to the Marlins, I got traded. Then, you know, they make a trade for me, and we sit together and make a deal. And then it's my first time since I left the Marlins. Everybody thought I don't want to manage anymore because the money I was making, or they don't know if I was making too much money. Well, I was interested in go back to managing, but the first five years with the Marlins, I couldn't be managing because obviously they're going to pay my salary, and it was a lot of things involved with the money and have another job, and then I figured out to go back to ESPN and work a little bit of baseball out there, and I think it was great. But after that, you know, I mean, it's just I feel kind of weird because. Seemed like I was punished for something with no reason, I think, because
yeah,
it has been 7 years and nobody give me a call to see how I feel.
Ozzie, what's going on? First of all, Tony Gwynn Jr. here, man. Good to talk
to
you. Buddy.
Great talking to you.
You too. You just mentioned it. Your last time you managed was 2012. It's not that long ago, but the game has certainly changed a lot, it seems like, from 12 till 19. Where do you see yourself fitting in today's game? Because it certainly seems like the environment that you and I were in coming up, where the manager was kind of the end-all, be-all, it seems like it's much more of a group effort now from the front office down into to that managerial spot. How do you see yourself fitting in today's game?
Oh, I think I'm great. You know, I mean, obviously you learn. You know, when I was managing, I was what? 44 years old, my first year as a manager, and the first opportunity that I have, and I coaching, I was 30-something years old, 36, 38. Nowadays, you know, you got to get into the game, get in with the game, because, you know, a lot of people say the analysis, you know, analytic, other stuff. We always have those numbers. We always have the scout report. We all have that. Now it's better and easier. For me, I think it's easier because you're just managing players. You know, it's not easy. People think, well, you manage, you got to manage a kid from Puerto Rico, a kid from Dominican, a kid from Venezuela, a Japanese kid. You know, I mean, it's people with a different environment, different family, different type of life. But I think be away from the game. I grew up a lot. There's no doubt about it. I grew up a lot. I know how things are going now. Going from the front office. But by the way, I just talked to Ron Gardenhine and Jim Lila a couple of days ago about it. And I talked to Bobby Cox before he got sick. And he said, well, the game, I think the game's easier now because you prepare yourself better.
Right.
And you know, prepare yourself better. Before it was a scout report. Now you got the scout report plus the analytics, plus numbers around, plus when you know, when is a good thing about it. I think you have to put those things together, but and at the end of the day, you got to go out there and give your best, your players the best, talk to them, and make sure those guys show up to the ballpark every day and do what they're supposed to do, play hard, have fun. You know what? My only thing in my life is win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I find a way to win. It's my priority thing, and make my players be happy, number one. But in the meanwhile, show them some responsibility about we playing to win. And I know nowadays, even in the past, you know what I mean? When I was a player, you know, a lot of people pay for the contracts, obviously. Nowadays, if you don't win, I don't think you're not prepared for it, because I think you really, really have to prepare for it. You have to adapt the old school game with the new school game. And when you put this thing together, before it was the general manager and the assistant GM and maybe the few people from the minor league, now everybody has to get involved. But everybody had to push in the same rope and push it with the same scenario. And what scenario I believe is just to win games. And I'm very competitive, very, very competitive. When I come from, you know, a lot of people say, well, it was easy. You know what I mean? Because I got the opportunity, I take advantage. The one thing about it with my players, a lot of people think, wow, the only one thing about baseball, believe me, I'll have more friends playing for me than enemy.
That's a good thing.
Definitely.
Yeah, because I get, you know, JD, all those guys, maybe two, three guys hate me. I don't blame it. But in the end of the day, my friendship with my players, it was very important. But in the meanwhile, I was taking the players the best out of my best out of the friendship, because they know how they have to do stuff, not how it's Aussie way.
Right.
It's not an Aussie way. It's an organization way, from the minor league all the way to the top. Everything starts from the owners all the way down to the bottom, to rookie league bowl, because you never know. I used to be told my players, hey, listen, guys, I love you. I love everyone in this room, everyone. But the difference between one guy to another is every 15 days you got different paycheck. I be respect. And room for everyone. I was like a kind of father figure. I tried to be that way. I will fight for my players, but in the meanwhile, they have to understand, and the front office have to understand, I'm in the middle, the two big tower, players and front office, and we put everything together and make yourself comfortable to it. I think everything it should be worked out, because I think right now, I think it's easier to manage now when I watch it came from a distance. And I watch every game. I have to watch every game. I think it's a little easier right now, because you got all the numbers out there, all the production out there, everything you need ready right in your face.
Ozzie, real quick, what do you think of this Padre organization? What have you seen from this Padre team? Obviously, they got a lot of good young players. Tony and I have nominated you to be a contestant for this job. I mean, I think you'd be a perfect fit in San Diego. Is this something that would appeal to you if they called?
I love it. To me, it will be a privilege.
Yeah.
Not because it's San Diego Padres. I grew up with San Diego Padres. I grew up with Tony Gwynn, rest in peace, in that era with John Kroc, the Alomar. You know, I grew up in that organization. I grew up with, you know, the general manager. It was Jack McKeon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My roots is out there. When the people believe in myself was from San Diego. I was 60 years old when the guy from San Diego Padres gone to Venezuela. and take a risk. And the skinny, crazy kid go to another state and wear that uniform for a little while. I never thought about it. Get traded, but they have my man. Well, they lied to me because they say you're going to be our next shortstop. You are the guy. And all the song I played 7 years with the White Sox, and you know who was the shortstop? Gary Temper still played for them.
That's right. He was pretty good. Yeah. But you were good too.
Yeah, but they told me you're going to be our next shortstop. But 7 years later, Tempe is still playing. But I would love it. I think they got a lot of talent. They're young. I know Hosmer. I know Machado. I know Tatis. That's the guy. Obviously, when you name those guys, you're naming the superstar. But I know those kids. I was a kid. Machado, I know his family. Machado playing my team in Miami because my son played with him and in the travel team. And, it's all this thing. It's a new – I love when I have kids with talent and kids, you can push them the right way. Because sometimes, when the place goes wrong, it's somebody's fault. I understand that. But I think you got to push it the right way. Talk to everyone, individual, to everyone before spring training starts and go out there and see who they are, what they do, what they're going to expect from me, what I'm going to expect from them, what we should be expect from the front office. And I think the group of kids they have there, they are fun to watch. I watch Tatis all the time, like, wow, my God.
Yeah.
Hosmer. By the way, Hosmer, when I was managing the White Sox, I see Hosmer playing in Miami, and I was a scout. I was sitting there watching my kids play, and I called Kenny Williams right away and said, Kenny, we have to sign this guy playing first base. He can pitch. And Kenny, first question, said, who is his name? I said, Eric Hosmer. He said, Ozzy, don't worry about it. We don't pick it. We're not going to pick first. And by the way, who got it? Kansas City. I said, you have been great scout, but you scout the good ones, right?
Right.
But, it's easy for me because I speak two languages. Even my English got a little bit better, so I started working on TV.
Sound good.
You cannot compare when I was managing 40, well, I'm 55 right now. And the only thing I got, I think, I feel guilty, I feel bad. I don't know, very sensitive because I want to manage it and nobody mentioned me and nobody even talk about me. And I see guys, I say, okay, they're going to go a different way because a bunch of young kids coming up. I love that because baseball cannot stay with the same old goats. But I mention names, and I don't hear anybody. I think San Diego Padre, hopefully. He'd be the first one ever called me last 8 years. And I don't know why, because everything I do is to win. Everything I got in myself is a winning attitude. To me, winning is the best thing. It's a manager or coach or front office people or owner. You got one thing every day.
Yeah.
It's the W. Players can go 4-for-4. Players can throw 8-inning shutout. They happy. We happy for them. But in the end of the day, if you don't win, it's a tough feeling. Believe me, I play with good teams. I'm coaching good teams. I'm coaching bad teams. I'm managing good teams. I'm managing bad teams. And one thing about it, and I guarantee you, I will do everything I can to get the best out of my players because you will know or notice in baseball about how you play, how your team play. I mean, I feel proud when somebody say, how do you like to play for Aussie? I love it. You talk about 90% of the players. And sometimes, hey, how do you like play for us? I hate him. I hope he dies.
Well, there has to be a couple.
But that's part of the game. That's part of the game. But the good percentage I have.
Yeah.
It's just because they know I was fighting for one thing, and it's competition. It's competition. It's winning. Winning attitude. When we show up, there we go. Look at who's coming. White Sox. Let's beat them. It's just. Another day I was watching the World Series, I almost started crying because I couldn't remember all the stuff happened because when you manage it, you don't have anything in your mind. It's so many stuff around you. And I said, wow, I never thought I was that good.
Well, you were great, man. I mean, yeah, unbelievable season they had 2005, Tony. He went 11-1 in the playoffs, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was a great run. Hey, Ozzy, I wish we had more time, but, hey, man, we're going to keep pumping your name up around here. I hope the Padres give you a call. I hope it gets you back in managing soon because baseball needs you. Thanks so much for the time, and best of luck.
Thanks, Ozzy.
Thank you, Tony. Take care, guys. Hopefully, have a call there. And if they call me, I will be on your show to say they got me or they don't.
Perfect. Yes, you have to break the story on our show. Thank you. Ozzy Guillen right there. Thank you. Ozzy Guillen managed the 2000. That is amazing that it was 2005 when he was with the White Sox. It's been that long, and he hasn't managed for 7 years, and he said he hasn't had a phone call for 7 years. That's a little weird.
It's kind of crazy.
I mean, not everybody wins a World Series by going 11-1 in the postseason.
I think
as he did,
he got caught up as the game shifted. He was in his last year with the Marlins. Really shifted, and you know, like Girardi, we had him on. Mm-hmm. You start getting that label put on you that you're quote unquote old school. And, you know, it kind of follows you. And it, what people don't realize is that I think most managers are willing to adapt. It's just sometimes it takes a little time.
I would say that. And I would also say that you're not doing your due diligence as a team looking for a manager if you don't at least put a phone call into Ozzy Guillen. I mean, there's not a lot of World Series winning managers just sitting around out there waiting for a call. Real quick, update on this Tampa Bay-Houston Game 5 deciding ALDS. A great start for the Astros. They score 4 times in the bottom of the first inning. They're still batting, and Gerrit Cole has a 4-run lead to work with right off the bat. Alex Bregman had a 2-run double. So you've got a 4-0 lead in the early going of that game for Houston over the Tampa Bay Rays. All right, time now for our biggest fan, and today's winner is Anna Garcia. Anna, you have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. Tony ran down the list of prizes. It's endless. It starts with a pair of Weekend Fest passes to the San Diego International Film Festival, and you're entered to win our grand prize, that Vegas getaway that includes tickets to all kinds of shows, all kinds of fun in Las Vegas. If you are Anna Garcia, you have 10 minutes to call us back, 833-288-0973. You get all the stuff, Anna, and if you haven't entered yet, please sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Speaking of Big Five, when we come back, Gwen and Chris.
.441, .442 now on the clock.
.443. Wow, it's really flying by.
.442 in 8 seconds on the clock.
Tony Good, Junior, Chris O. Last 18 minutes of this show.
Oh, my gosh. Right?
Hey, don't forget tomorrow, though, guys. We're out at Granite Hills High School.
Woo-hoo!
So all you folks out in East County, please come on by, say hi. We'll be out there doing our show live before the Granite Hills Grossmont football game. Always like our Friday afternoon high school
this
stuff.
This is like a year, almost a year to the day we did our first.
We were
one
out
at
there
Granite
last
Hills.
Year. Yeah, and Granite Hills was so great to us and gracious. And we look forward to being out there tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
All right, Scraby, let's get to this Big Five.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we have no time to waste, so let's go right now, Thomas.
Number five.
A Pittsburgh Steelers veteran leader loved the intensity and physicality that was on hand during the team's practice yesterday, but another one, to put it mildly, did not. While the defensive captain Cam Hayward was in favor of the Steelers practice that included a, quote, number of skirmishes, offensive lineman Ramon Foster, the longest tenured player on Pittsburgh's roster, was one of the multiple offensive players who did not like the physical nature of the practice. He said, "When I talk about it, it takes me to a dark spot. I would rather not, but you should know better. There is such a thing as a training camp where you can hash out all of that, and there's such a thing as being a pro. And I'm a believer of being a pro. Give all you want to give all you want to in camp. I don't care. It's camp. When the season starts, you become a pro to teach each other, to the team, to the community, Hayward's told The Athletic.
My goodness.
I know.
What a reaction to what happened, a skirmish at a camp?
Or no, that wasn't Hayward. Sorry,
that was Foster.
Foster. Now, Hayward said, we are 1-4. He's all for it. This is what he said.
We are 1-4.
All we want are W's. It's like with everything you do, if you aren't getting results that you want, you are going to get ticked off. We are trying to win a game, and that's all I care about right now. You have to emulate the game. So, Chris, whose side are you on in this?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm not a big fan of, you know, teams fighting each other and thinking that's going to turn a whole season around. But at the same time, I am a fan of a guy saying, hey, we're 1-4. We got to get something done. So, you know, let's go out and hit somebody and let's start getting physical and let's start, you know, getting the season turned around. So, you know, I have a little bit of both. I feel a little for both sides there.
Tony, what do you think?
Which is a rare answer for me.
That is a rare answer. Yeah,
I'm going with it this time.
But you're right, though. I think it is a little bit of both. When you're 1-4, something's got to change, right? You only get, 16 games?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Something's got to change. You pretty much ran through the first quarter and some change. So with that being said, I see both points. I see Hayward's point, wanting to get physical, stop lollygagging around. We're 1-4. But I also see Foster's point. You know, you want to be a pro. You don't want anybody getting hurt. Skirmishes in football can lead to injury. Shoot, practicing in football can lead to injury. So I see both sides on this.
But I would love to see the Dolphins hit somebody in practice just to prove they can do it, you know.
Number 4.
On the verge of popping bottles, St. Louis rookie Randy Arozarena began an Instagram Live and caught his skipper's expletive-filled congratulatory speech, according to ESPN. Here's the speech, quote...
No.
But
you can't say any
of it.
Well,
no, I'm not gonna actually read those words.
Just leave the words
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it will be... this is from... I believe his name is Mike Schilt.
Yes.
Correct? The Cardinals manager. He said...
Bleep, 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 the Dodgers, bleep, 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 the Rays.
The Braves started some bleep. We finished the bleep. And that's how we roll. No one bleeping with us ever. Now I don't give a bleep who we play. We're going to bleep them up. We're going to take it right to them the whole bleep way. Right. We're going to kick their bleep. Bleep.
We got the idea. We got the idea.
Arozarena deleted the stream and later apologized for posting what was supposed to be a private moment. He said, I want to apologize to my teammates, manager, the Cardinals organization, and baseball fans for the video I posted tonight after our victory in Atlanta. It was a moment meant to be private. I made a rookie mistake, duh, by sharing it on my social media account, end quote. So, Tony, what should happen to him for taking this speech live?
Nothing. Nothing should happen to him. He's contrite. Here's the thing. When you're young... The whole idea of turning my phone off after I've started Insta Live doesn't even cross your mind. You're in the moment. You just won a big series. Your coach is going on one of his epic rants. This isn't the first time. This might be the most explicit he's had in it. But he went in on this after they won the first series. So I don't think it was a mistake that deserves a suspension. Maybe a fine, but even that might be a little harsh. I think it's obviously a stupid play by the
young. 24 years old.
He's 24, yes. Just got to the big leagues. He's just in the moment.
I think if he's that stupid, they ought to just cut him. I can't believe he was that dumb.
I can't either.
I really can't.
Go ahead and cut him and lose his next series.
What,
you think he's that important?
Randy Arozarena?
Just because y'all can't pronounce his name and know who he is doesn't mean he's that important.
No, of course you're not going to cut him, but
right.
There's got to be some pushback here. I mean, if you're you got to have the confidence that your own team isn't going to throw you under the bus, especially if you're the manager of the team. So I think
what should be the punishment?
Suspend him for a game of the NLCS?
At your own peril.
It seems to me that it would be like when I played for Coach Dietz, it would just be a meeting with Coach Dietz would have been enough of a punishment.
Scary
right
enough.
There. Right. Yeah. Just you, hey, go up and meet with Coach Dietz.
I need to see you. I need to see you in my office.
Right. That would scare me enough. But I think you got to at least go that far. And I mean, you know, be pretty serious about what you say to the kid because that's really a dumb, dumb
Because really the person he harmed the most is the manager.
He really did. Nobody knows who he is.
Well, they do now.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Nobody knows. I'm saying nobody knew who the manager was. They know now because of that was posted. You're right.
Yeah.
He's pumped up, the manager. Obviously, he should be. He just scored 10 runs in the first inning. And
when you're 24, let me tell you, when you're 24, you tend to think that that's cool and that it'll be perceived the same way you're receiving it. When the reality is,
good point.
It doesn't come off that way to everybody.
Number three.
This Monday's broadcast between the 49ers and Browns angered former 49er tight end Brent Jones to go on an absolutely epic rant that went after Booger. Say it again, Thomas. What
Don't stop with the word booger.
Sorry. That went after Booger McFarland's intelligence for the game and his playing ability back when McFarland was a defensive lineman in the NFL. Here is what Brent Jones said on the Tolbert, Kruger, and broadcast thanks to KNBR 680 in the Bay Area.
The Garoppolo thing has me a little fired up. I really am frustrated with, you know, Snot Nose or Loogie or Booger or whatever the guy's name is. I try not to throw people under the bus most of the time. But you're a very, very average defensive lineman your whole career. And if I could pick anybody on a team that knows less about what's truly going on offensively and defensively, it would be a defensive lineman. Rush the passer, stay in your lane, play your gaps, tackle the guy. That's it. You don't care what coverage, you don't care what linebackers are going, you might know a game or something that you're playing, you don't know pass patterns, you don't know what running backs are doing, you don't know anything. So I get it. He's a guy that was left over because Jason Witten didn't make it. But, dude, don't come and bring your quarterback analysis into the prime time of Monday Night Football on a crappy team. You're just a guy. Like, that got me fired up.
That got me fired up. I'm actually, for the first time ever, on Booger McFarland's side.
Me too.
I was just going to say, Chris. Like,
that was way too much.
Do you think Brent Jones is wrong in his analysis?
Yes.
Snot-Nose or Loogie or...
I'm sure Brent Jones would call me the same thing. Yeah. Brent, keep it down. He's got the job, Brent, not you.
Maybe he's jealous.
Yeah, obviously he's better than you. Obviously somebody thinks he's better than you. So, you know what? If you don't want to listen to him, they got that little mute button.
Mute.
Hit it.
Snot-Nose or Loogie or...
I'm on Booger McFarland's side on this one,
Tony. I mean,
and I'm not a Booger McFarland fan, but that's overboard.
Yeah, even I have to say that Brent Jones is my guy too.
That was such a meathead rant right there. Like, really, man?
It was a meathead.
It was
rant.
Like, bro,
good call.
Are you that much of a homer? I get it. You play for the Niners, and
yeah, and you were a hero,
right? I get it, bro. It just seemed like it almost seemed like he was doing it for the gram. He was doing it for some clicks. He was doing it because that was just completely unnecessary.
I usually don't go after people, but here, let me say some of the worst stuff I've ever heard.
Let me tell you about all the stuff I've been practicing before I came onto this show.
Right. You're right.
Let me see what I can call him. His name's Booger, so Snot Nose. That might be funny.
And then he goes, and then after you think he's done, he says, "You're only on there because Jason Witten couldn't cut it."
It's like, bro, he was on the same show as Jason.
I mean, it sounds like really sour grapes.
It does.
All right. Well, I'm surprised that both of you are on that side, but here we go.
Number two.
There have been less home runs in the postseason than during the regular season, and some people think the baseball has been altered once again. Rob Arthur of Baseball Prospectus put out an article saying he did some models and, quote, this model predicted that there should have actually been 24 more home runs hit so far in the playoffs than the 43 that were actually hit, an astounding 50% difference, end quote. He later says, it's also worth pointing out the postseason baseballs are made specifically for October. So, Tony, do you think the baseballs could have been changed?
They could have been. If they did, great. Because we've gotten terrific baseball out of it. Can you imagine there being 24 more home runs in this first two series?
It's already been enough.
I mean, like, come on. So, and by the way, there couldn't be possibly enough data to come up with this already.
This is ridiculously stupid.
If they did do something, great. I've been entertained as a fan. If they didn't, it wouldn't surprise me because there's just not enough data to prove that.
You know, last night when Will Smith hit that ball in the ninth inning, I thought, man, and it was caught. It looked like it was out. I was like, man, the balls must have been changed.
No, I didn't think
I thought,
that at all.
Oh, this is the dew point that we're used to seeing in Dodger Stadium at night. The ball doesn't go anywhere.
I know, I'm kidding.
The only thing that whoever this guy is can prove to me is the fact that we are in the postseason, and by and large, we're seeing a lot better pitchers.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing, and that's why we're not seeing as many home runs. Simple as that.
Number one.
Proud of us, guys, for getting through all this.
Yeah.
A.J. Green
Thank
will not
God
play.
We stopped you from cutting one or two off.
It's true. A.J. Green will not play for the Cincinnati Bengals this week, but even after he recovers, he may not play for the Bengals at all. Because he, I'm paraphrasing here, so there are rumors out there that the Bengals are going to trade him because the Bengals are 0-5, and they're going to trade him to a contender, and they are, quote, beginning fielding call, or they are going to, quote, begin fielding calls for a core group of key players in the coming weeks. That's according to CBS Sports' NFL insider Jason LaConfora, and Green himself addressed the speculation of a potential trade today, saying, quote, I don't fantasize about anything like that. I'm just trying to get healthy and go from there, end quote. This will be his ninth year in the NFL, and rumors are saying that the Bengals would take a second-round pick for him. Chris, if you're a contender, are you making a trade for him this year?
A.J. Green?
Yes.
It depends which contender I am, I guess. I mean, some teams I think are loaded, good enough at the wide receiver position. I don't think A.J. Green changes that, but if I'm a team with a hole at wide receiver and I feel like I'm a contender, he can fill a hole. So I have to say it depends on the team.
Tony?
I say yeah. I mean, if whether I'm a contender who is loaded, whether I'm a team that has a hole, I think A.J. Green is the type of guy that will fit in. He's never been a guy that is, like, clamored for the ball. You never hear anything about that.
One thing I'll say about A.J. Green, he's a good receiver, and Andy Dalton is his quarterback. So that's, you know, that's
been
pretty
his quarterback
good,
the whole time.
Yeah, that's
too.
A pretty good stat right there.
No doubt. I definitely would take a look at A.J. Green because when he's healthy, man, he's one of the better wide receivers in the game. And you don't deal with the diva noise that you hear
that's
from
true.
Most of the wide receivers.
And he's sitting on my fantasy bench, so please come back
soon. Stop it.
Chris wants to hear nothing about fantasy.
I want that whole sport to be not invented. All right, this hour's Grand Slam giveaway keyword is print, P-R-I-N-T. Text the word print to 72881 for your chance to win your share of $160,000. It's the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from 97.3. The Fan. All right, really quick, Tampa Bay. Eric Sogard hit a home run to get them on the board, but it's still Houston 4 and the Rays 1. They are in the top of the third inning of Game 5. And we've got Thursday Night Football coming up next here.
Stay tuned!
Thomas is going to be glued to this one.
I smell an upset.
New York Football Giants, do they have a chance in hell against
Without
the Patriots?
Saquon and
I couldn't even keep a straight face after I
no,
said
No, I know.
Hell no.
It's going to be very difficult for the Giants to pull this one off, but if they do, you don't want to miss it. It's coming up next. We're at Granite Hills High School tomorrow. Thanks, Graby. Thanks, Odd Thomas, Tony Gwynn Jr. Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.